So our rabbis say that shalom is such a great idea, such a great concept, that we finish every prayer with shalom, right? Sim shalom, shalom rav, the word shalom, peace. Every important prayer ends with shalom. Our rabbis further say that great is peace. That when you see somebody along the way, you say to them, shalom aleichem, peace be to you. Great is peace, say the rabbis, for God found no greater vessel in which to bring bracha, bring blessing. Great is peace. And so there I was in Baltimore at a conference entitled Visions of Peace, Visions of Shalom. And no sooner did I finish teaching a week on shalom that I was invited, don't ask me how, to the White House. Not for peace accords. And while I was there in this very interesting gathering of faith leaders from around the country, over and over again, the word shalom was invoked. In its biblical sense, the first pastor said, I want to invoke shalom today in the biblical sense, meaning wholeness. I said, wow, that's really wonderful that that's what you mean when you say the biblical sense of shalom, wholeness, shleimut. Well, this week's Torah portion has in it a very interesting and challenging episode. Parshat Pinchas. Pinchas is named for the character who was the grandson of Aaron the priest, who in last week's Torah portion acted in a vigilante way, acted in a violent way, acted in an impulsive way to stem a plague and to publicly punish two perpetrators, Zimri and Cosby, two actors in last week's Torah portion. And this week's Torah portion begins with his reward, apparently. And God said to Moses, tell Pinchas, Pinchas ben Lazar ben Aaron HaKohen השיב את חמתי מעל בני ישראל וקנו את קינתי בתוכם ולא חיליתי את בני ישראל בקינתי לכן אמור הנני נותן לו בריתי שלום. God says, tell that Phineas, that Pinchas character, he squelched, he quenched whatever was going on. He averted the disaster. His violent act was condoned, so to speak, it would seem. And I am giving him a brit shalom. I am giving him a covenant of shalom. Lest you think that only we moderns have had an issue with this episode. What would it mean to be given a brit shalom? It seems, on a very simple reading of the text, that it is a reward. Many, many commentators have had a problem with this. One of the most interesting workings of this difficult episode appears in the 19th century. It's one of my favorite Torahs. It's one of my favorite Hasidic texts. It is from the Ishbitzer Rebbe, Mordechai Yosef Lehner of Ishbitz, who was quoted last week by Reb Jill. I want to read to you what he says. He says that Pinchas Haya b'ma'ase hazeh kena'ar. That in this episode, says the Ishbitzer Rebbe, Pinchas acted like a na'ar, like a youth. Whenever we see the word na'ar, N-A-A-R, in the Bible, it means something immature, something that hasn't yet come into its ears. Na'ar hayiti v'gam zakanti. Na'ar. The Ishbitzer says that Pinchas was a na'ar. He was immature. Why? Because based on another Kabbalistic idea, Cosby and Zimri, the two perpetrators of the sexual act in last week's Parsha, were really soulmates from the 6 days of creation. Without going into that very heretical teaching from the Ishbitzer, I want to extract the salient, what for me is the salient point of his working of this episode. He says that to be spiritually immature is to be like Pinchas. Pinchas, he says, receives the covenant of peace as a corrective, not as a reward. Peace in this working is the antidote to na'arut. Peace or wholeness, if we were to translate it appropriately, would be spiritual maturity. And I wonder to myself if we can explore tonight, in the next 8 minutes, two features of what I consider to be spiritual maturity. We often have developmental arcs for human development, and frequently we come to synagogue on Friday night, we go to mosque on Friday, we go to church on Sunday, and very rarely do we hear what are the characteristics or the qualities that this practice is intending us towards. Why do we do this thing called prayer, called Yiddishkeit, called whatever your practice is? And if we can together begin to tease out a couple of those, I think we'll have an insight into what shalom might mean. This could take us a while over the year. I promise to come back to more qualities. But I want to highlight two. To be spiritually mature, I want to first say, requires a commitment to non-idealism. The mature spiritual heart is not perfectionistic. It rests in the compassion of our being instead of the ideals of the mind. Non-idealistic spirituality does not seek a perfect world. It does not seek to perfect ourselves, our bodies, our personalities. It isn't romantic about teachers or enlightenment based on images of an immature purity, of some special being that is out there. It doesn't seek to gain or attain in spiritual life, but only to love and to be free. This seeking imperfection, or the not seeking of perfection, is illustrated by a story that I've always loved of the great Sufi jokester Mullah Nasruddin. One day, the story goes, in the marketplace, he encountered an old friend who was about to get married, and the friend asked Mullah whether he had ever considered marriage. Mullah Nasruddin replied that years ago he had wanted to marry and had set out to find the perfect woman. First, he traveled to Damascus, where he found a perfectly gracious and beautiful woman, but discovered she was lacking a spiritual side. Then his travels took him further, to Istanbul, where he met a woman who was deeply spiritual, but she was comfortable in the world and beautiful, but they didn't communicate well. Finally, in Cairo, I found her, said Mullah. She was the ideal woman, spiritual, gracious, beautiful, at ease in the world, perfect in every way. Well, asked the friend, did you then marry her? No, answered the mullah. Unfortunately, she was looking for the perfect man. The quality of non-idealism removes us from the never-ending seeking of the image and not the experience. The commitment to non-idealism says that wholeness, shalom, embraces both perfection and imperfection. The Ark of the Covenant held the broken tablets and the whole tablets. And each and every one of us, in our wholeness, carries with us the scars of all of those falls that we had to make and will continue making for the rest of our lives. There was a great Christian mystic named Thomas Merton who wrote, "Then it was," he said, "as if I suddenly saw the secret beauty of each and every one of their hearts. The depths where neither sin nor desire can reach, the person that each one of us is in God's eyes. If only they could see themselves as they really are. If only we could see each other that way, there would be no reason for war, for hatred, or for cruelty. I suppose the big problem, Merton writes, would be that we would fall down and worship each other. When we are committed to non-idealism, we are led through the doorway towards the second spiritual quality that must be accrued as we become mature, and that is patience. Patience as a spiritual strength. In the words of Siddhartha, I can think, I can fast, I can wait, he said. I can wait. That I know how to time the rhythm of life's unfolding in the appropriate tempo that it is appearing. That the superimposition of my own hurried pace doesn't overwhelm the reality of that which naturally unfolds. There's a story that I want to end with that beautifully captures that. The story is found in Zorba the Greek. One morning, Zorba writes, or is written of him, I discovered a cocoon in the bark of a tree just as the butterfly was making a hole in its case and preparing to come out. I waited a while, but it was too long appearing, and I was impatient. I bent over it and breathed onto it to warm it. I warmed it as quickly as I could, and the miracle began to happen before my eyes. Faster than life, the case opened. The butterfly started slowly crawling out, and I shall never forget my horror, he writes, when I saw how its wings were folded back and crumpled. The wretched butterfly tried with its whole trembling body to unfold them. Bending over it, I tried to help it with my breath, but in vain. It needed it to be hatched out patiently, and the unfolding of the wings needed to be a gradual process in the sun. And now it was too late. My impatient breath had forced the butterfly to appear before its time. To ask something to appear before its time is to deny that we are part of a vast, mysterious unfolding. And that when we interrupt, when we rush, when we force, when we lose the sense that as we wait, things are being taken care of, we display not spiritual maturity, but spiritual infancy. To be able to hold the space as something unfolds is a spiritual quality that each and every one of us can commit to in our lives. And so in this reading of Parshat Pinchas tomorrow morning, when we arrive at Lachen Emor, therefore God says, I give you my covenant of peace, of shalom. We remember that that word shalom has a broken vav in it. It isn't a full word. And that fullness is patience. Fullness appears as the ability to see the imperfect with the perfect. Shleimut, or wholeness, is each and every one of our birthrights. May the God that is true and real in each and every one of your lives bless you and me with the strength to commit to non-idealism and to the ability to wait patiently as life unfolds. Mm-hmm.